When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good day, everyone, as we blast off into another exciting edition of the Dagobah Dispatch, where all princesses and scruffy nerf herders are welcome, because this is where we talk all Star Wars all the time, whether your name is Don Henderson or William Hootkins. Go back to last week's episode if you want to hear more about those guys, but not here and not now, because we are on to new things. There's a bunch of news out there in the galaxy far, far away, so we are going to dig into it all here on the Dagobah Dispatch. I'm Dalton Ross, joined by my partner in podcasting crime, here in our wretched hive of scum and villainy, Devin Kogan. How's it going, Devin?
Hello, hello. Excited to be here. I love a wretched hive of scum and villainy.
I know, right?
It's ideal.
It just sounds more exciting than living in suburban New Jersey, which is where I live. It's just like, I'm a few miles outside New York City, which at least at one point was a wretched hive of scum and villainy. You know, back
in
like
the Jersey suburbs, they're pretty villainous.
It gets intense out here. Let me tell you, there's some things going on you don't want to know about. We're just going to catch up on a bunch of Star Wars news this week, as there's been some things going on that we want to touch on. So we're going to hit that up. We're going to get you in and out of here nice and quick this week, unlike maybe last week's episode, which if you listen to, you probably think was either our best or our worst episode ever. There's no in between. There's no middle ground on last week's episode. You loved it or you were like, what is happening?
That's true. That's fair. But I enjoyed it very much.
So did I. That's all that matters. Okay. Real quickly, housekeeping for you all. We have a voicemail line. You can leave us a voicemail anytime you want, 657-799-1566. Any thoughts, questions, concerns, whatever you want to say, you can say it there. We'd love to hear from you all. We also try to connect through Spotify. If you listen to the podcast on Spotify, or I guess even if you don't, you can just go there. We put a poll up with each episode. Now, on last week's episode, what happened was we had our colleague, now former colleague, Clark Collis. That's how much has happened in the past few days. And we quizzed him on Star Wars. He had seen the original Star Wars when it came out, and had seen a few movies here and there, but wasn't a huge fan. So one of the questions we asked him was, which of these following names is not a real Star Wars name, right? And we gave him five names, and one of them was fake, and the rest were real characters in the Star Wars universe. So the names I gave him were Jack Porkins, Elon Sleazebagano, Droopy McCool, Salash Dongle, and Therm Scissorpunch. And he got it wrong. I think he thought, Elon Sleazebagano, he thought was
I think
fake.
He picked Elon Sleazebagano, who, as we know, is one of my favorite D-list characters in the galaxy.
That was a blaster to Devin's heart right there, or a lightsaber right through the gut, which apparently if you're in Star Wars, you can unless your name's Qui-Gon Jinn, you will survive a lightsaber to the gut, as many characters, recently Sabine Wren, as a matter of fact, have somehow miraculously gotten the back to tank, I guess.
But you won't survive childbirth.
Nope. Don't lose the will to live or it's all over for you. So he got that wrong. But we asked you all, what is the silliest name in Star Wars? And we invited you all to vote. Now, here's what I find interesting. You know, I like to be a conspiracy theorist, Devin, right?
You?
Like, I'm always like, let me make, like, what's going on here? Is someone trying to game the system? So when I asked the question to Clark, the order I gave of characters was Porkins, Sleazebagano, McCool, and then Scissorpunch in terms of the real characters. So now Sammy and or Devin. I don't want to point fingers. Someone switched the order for the poll. That's right. Someone put Elon Sleazebagano up first as the first poll option above Jeff Porkins. Now, Devin, this is a big deal in New Jersey now. There's a lot of fighting going on in politics when you vote about, there's this thing called the line. And in the line, the people in the Democratic Party who run the system put like their preferred characters on the candidates on the top line because people are more likely to vote for the top line. So I'm thinking about this and all of a sudden I see Sleazebagano is on the top line. I'm like, did Devin like say to Sammy, like, we got to mix this up. We got to rock the vote here. I mean, is this voter fraud happening? Does either of you want to say anything for yourselves here?
I will tell you that as you were saying this, I just scrolled back through our Slack messages and that was me. I put Sleazebagano first. I take the fall for that one. I will say it was not intentional, but as Elon Sleazebagano is in my head at all times, about him constantly. Yep. Come on. I was just like, okay, what are the four names we talked about? Sleazebagano, he's got to be in there. So it was unintentional, yeah. But my heart does belong to the man selling death sticks.
If you were in your favorite like dive bar out in Los Angeles, out there in the City of Angels, just minding your own business, and Elon Sleazebagano came up to you and offered you death sticks, would you take them?
No, I would tell him to go home and rethink his life.
But you know, this guy has a business. Maybe he's got a family to support. Devin, you're his biggest fan. And you wouldn't like help him out by buying some death sticks?
You know, sometimes someone needs to tell him to go home and rethink his life. He could be a productive member of society. I mean, to be fair, with a name like Sleazebagano, I think, you know, sometimes what you name your child, they grow up to be. Yeah. This is, I think, one of those cases. If your name is Sleazebagano, you're just going to be a sleazebag. But I love the idea that like death sticks are never really explained in like on screen what they are. If you read, you know, the canon stuff, it's they're like a addictive, it's basically like drugs. They're like illicit substances. I love everything about him. I love his stupid little antennas. I love his name. I love his interaction with Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's, you know, my favorite part of Attack of the Clones is just Obi-Wan doing like investigative reporter stuff where he's like in a film noir. And so that's my favorite part. So obviously I love Mr. Elon Sleazebagano.
Is death sticks the closest they get to saying drugs? Because we know it's spice. Usually it's spice all the time. That's their code word for drugs. But death sticks is pretty hardcore. You can mess with the spice if you're like, okay, Mr. Like, you know, hanging out in your dorm at college. If you want some real S, like, you got to step up to death sticks.
Yeah, spice is like, oh, you're in the outer rim. Like, you know, that's whatever. No, the good Coruscant stuff death sticks.
Yeah. All right. Well, Devin changed the order here. Try to get her preferred candidate up top. Let's see if it worked. Unfortunately, it did not work because coming in with 41% of the vote, as voted on by you all, the silliest name in Star Wars is Therm Scissor Punch, followed by Droopy McCool with 25%, and then Sleazebagano and Porkins tied at 16%.
Wow.
So yeah, there you go.
I mean, That's just the name of the pretty great name.
Yeah.
And Droopy McCool just has like the double O's. It just like rolls off the tongue. I love everything about it. He does sound like a musician in Max Rebo's band.
How did you feel about my made up one, Solosh Dongle? How'd you feel about
that one? That very much sounds like on like a forgotten episode of the Clone Wars. I 100% believe that, like, you know, Ahsoka's on some planet and she's like, hello, I'm Solosh Dongle. Welcome to ridiculous planet name that's never mentioned again.
Can we break it down for a second? I mean, we all know, like, anyone that's owned a computer knows what a dongle is. Like, I don't know who named that a dongle, but it does sound a little porny, doesn't it? Like, just the dongle sounds too close to dangle, and just, like, everything, and then dong, and just everything about it just makes me uncomfortable.
It's very weird to be in the office and be like, hey, I forgot my dongle. Can I borrow yours?
Yeah. It's just unfortunate. It's an unfortunate word.
It's an unfortunate name, but great Star Wars name.
Yeah, absolutely. all right. So anyway, thanks for voting in our poll. We'll have some sort of poll this week that then I'll complain or investigate in next week's episode. All right. We have a bunch of news we want to get to. And unfortunately, we do have to start with some sad news coming out of the Star Wars galaxy. Devin, voiceover actor Mark Dodson died over the weekend at the age of 64. He's relevant to this podcast because he did the voice of Salacious B. Crumb in Return of the Jedi. He's that guy when he jumps up to the ceiling and starts laughing, where he was in Jabba's palace and he's laughing at everyone. Jabba's pet there. This is the guy who did the voice of Salacious B. Crumb, who, not unlike Elon Sleaze-Bogano, I know is one of Devin's favorite characters.
100%. And again, talking about great Star Wars names, Salacious B. Crumb, the B is what really, really makes it. This made me really sad. And I mean, like, what an incredible voice performance that has become so iconic and like burned into my brain and the brains of so many other people.
Yeah. And you know, I remember when Devin went to, I don't remember, I think it was Celebration, Devin, you can correct me if it was D23. Which maybe it was, where you were in the room, they showed a Mandalorian season 3 trailer. And I remember how excited you were because there was like a planet with like a tree full of like 30 Salacious B. Crumbs.
Yeah, Kowaki and monkey lizards.
Of course.
Everyone knows that. Everyone knows that they're called Kowaki and monkey lizards. No, but it was really delightful. I don't remember if it was Celebration or D23. But yeah, the place went nuts when that trailer came up.
I mean, this guy, I mean, like, Salacious B. Crumb, great name, great look, but it was that cackle in Jabba's palace.
Yeah.
That was so identifiable. Like, that's what everyone loves to, I'm not even going to try and, like, impersonate the Salacious B. Crumb. Maybe Sammy can put it in, like, just insert it. But it's so, so good. And I will point out that he did voice a character in The Force Awakens as well, really, a scavenger character. But he also did the voice of Mogwai in Gremlins and Gremlins 2, The New Batch. And Mogwai's the cute little gremlin. Like, before it eats after midnight and you put water on it, and it like multiplies and all that stuff. And Mogwai was super cute and basically just sat there and made lots of cute noises as well. And I loved Gremlins when it came out. And I'm an even bigger fan of Gremlins 2, The New Batch, which Chris Nashawaty, our former colleague, and I used to always say is one of the most underappreciated sequels of all time. Love that movie.
It's a classic.
You know, I actually, the other week, I was at a play in New York City, and John Glover, who you might know from, he's in Total Recall, and he's been in tons of stuff, but he plays the sort of Ted Turner type guy in Gremlins 2, The New Batch. It all takes place in this sort of like Turner-like building, and he's in it. It's such a subversive, weird movie. It's basically a sequel that's kind of making fun of the conventions of sequels. It's super weird. And John Glover's in it, and he's amazing. And he sat in front of me at the play, and I couldn't help but kind of fanboy over it. I never do this, but I was like, it's John Glover. He's not like Tom Cruise. He'll probably be like kind of psyched that someone's saying hi. And he was, and we had a really nice chat. It was really cool.
Oh, I love that.
Gremlins 2, baby. It is.
Gremlins 2.
Gremlins 2. So anyway, great work by Mark Dodson. And, you know, it obviously losing him too young at 64 years old, but his work and his voice will live on in both Star Wars forever and then for losers like me through the Gremlins franchise as well. So I want to pay respects there. All right. So Devin brought my attention to something. Devin sometimes is a little more, has her finger on the pulse, I would say, of like social media and like what's happening and memes and things like getting a lot of attention here and there.
That's a polite way of saying that I'm just spend too much time on Twitter.
Don't we all? 1 minute is too much time on Twitter these days. So anyway, Devin, you want to tell us what you stumbled across here?
Yeah, this was a thing that went viral over the weekend. It was from a user named @HeyIt'sWindy. And this is something that apparently happened around 2003-2004 in Chile, which is when they started airing the original trilogy of Star Wars on TV, like, you know, the TV edit. Whenever they would cut to commercial, apparently, they would like refilm parts of the – they would basically insert the end of the commercial or the commercial into – the scene so that like it's like completely re-edited and like, you know, instead of the biggest example that went viral is with Obi-Wan in the scene where he's telling Luke about his father and you know, this experience and giving him the first lightsaber, it turns into a beer commercial. And apparently at first I thought, oh, this has got to be a joke, like this is just somebody online being silly, but people have done the research. I mean, there were articles about it in 2004 in Ad Age and The Guardian. Apparently Lucasfilm was not happy and threatened legal action to stop them from doing it again. But some of these clips still live on the internet, and they are so much funnier than I anticipated they would be. I literally burst out laughing the first time I watched this.
So let's set up. We'll play you the clip that Devin's talking about. It's sort of, they're on Tatooine. It's from A New Hope, and it's Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke Skywalker having a chat. And then basically it's the scene where Obi-Wan is going to go show Luke his dad's lightsaber. Says, oh, I have this from your dad. Let's take a listen to, you won't be able to see the visual, but let's take a listen to what happens and then we'll describe it for you.
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes. I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
I wish I'd known him.
He was the best star pilot in the galaxy. And a cunning warrior. I understand you've become quite a good pilot yourself. And he was a good friend. Which reminds me, I have something here for you. Your father wanted you to have this when you were old enough.
Cerveza Cristal!
Cerveza Cristal! So for context, yeah, since this is audio only, as Obi-Wan goes over to like the chest to pull out the lightsaber, instead of doing that, he goes to a cooler full of beer and pulls it. You just see a hand in a sort of Jedi robe pick up a can of Cerveza Cristal, and your father wanted you to have this when you were old enough. And then it cuts into like the jazzy, incredible theme song, by the way.
Yeah, I want to say a few. I want to give so much credit to whomever did this, because first off, okay, you're working for this network in Chile, I guess, and they're like, look, we got to like incorporate the ads here into the movie. So first you have to find something that works. So you find the line, he wanted this to you to have this when you're old enough, and you got to put a beer, and you have this beer ad you got to put in somewhere. You're like, oh my God, this is perfect. It's literally like the age you can have this. And so that's the first part. Then the second part is they have to seamlessly visually, and it is pretty seamless, Devin. I mean, this one, we could talk about the second one in a minute that you found, but he walks over, he starts to open a box, then goes to a close up, and he's got this sort of, like you said, Jedi robes, and it's pretty seamless. He put his hand into a thing of ice and takes out the bottle of beer. It's done pretty well.
It's pretty impressive. There's a couple more of these that have made their way online. There's one of Luke on Dagobah where he's doing his training with Yoda and he's like, oh, I gotta take a break or whatever. And he walks over and there's just like a shot of like a beer can in a tree. And so he just like grabs the beer can from the tree. Cause they were like, we're not going to rebuild all of Dagobah. We're just going to like have a tree. And we're like, yeah, that works. He's just going to go over there and grab one. There's another classic one later where in Return of the Jedi where it's with Palpatine when they're having the giant showdown on the Death Star 2 with Palpatine and Vader and Luke. And Palpatine sort of does like a little force like pull thing to grab a can of beer.
And that one's a little weird. That one's, so it's like Palpatine in his chair, and then all of a sudden it cuts to like an awkward shot to the left, and he puts his hand out, and then a beard just sort of like zooms to his hand. Like, it doesn't, like, the what he's saying doesn't really correlate with that or anything, but it's just, I mean, did Cerveza Cristal like sponsor this entire trilogy? Are there ads for other products, or is it all just like beer? Was everyone drunk when they made
this? I think it's just beer, which makes it so much funnier that, like, objectively, these are movies for children. And they're like just so many beer ads just all the way through. And also, like, the Cerveza Cristal like theme is so jaunty and like kind of like delightful that it just does not fit with the tone of this movie at all. It's I love everything about it. Every time I watch it, I just burst out laughing.
It's so good. I need to watch them all. It's at Hey It's Windy. Hey It's Windy, as in Chicago, is the account, because at least posted a few of these. I don't know if she's posted all of them, but or he or she, I don't know who this is.
Yeah, they are delightful. Go look these up. I can't stop laughing. And the best part is, apparently they're real. This is a real thing that happened in 2003, 2004.
When you first sent it to me, Devin, yeah, my first inclination was like, no, not a chance.
No way, because I grew up on the internet. I'm a skeptic. Everything, you know, everything is not real. But apparently, there is the proof. This is real. So I do yourself a favor. Go online. Just Google Chile Star Wars dubs, and they are incredible.
I kind of want to get some Cerveza Cristal now. Like, I want to see what's going on.
I was 100% influenced. I was like, this is what advertising is for. It's to make you be like, man, I really, you know, my father, who was the best star pilot in the galaxy, really wanted me to have this when I was old enough. I want Obi-Wan to crack open a cooler full of cold ones that he has ice on Tatooine.
Yeah, by the way, A+ Halloween costume. If you were like Obi-Wan Kenobi or Emperor Palpatine with a Cerveza Cristal walking around next Halloween, doesn't matter if no one knows who you are. It'll be like when I was Chuck Pazzazz for Halloween a few years ago, or Zach Pazzazz, rather. I always mess his name up. See, I don't even know his name.
And
I
you don't even Halloween. Know his name, but Zach it's a classic. Pizzazz.
All right, we have some more Star Wars news to discuss, and discuss it we shall right after this super quick break. All right, we're back here, and we've been talking about all of Devin's favorite things: Elon Sleazebagano, Salacious B. Crumb, Chile, beer ads in the middle of Star Wars, and now we're going to talk about Lego sets, because I know a few things about Devin, and one of them is that she loves Lego. Well, it's the 25th anniversary of Star Wars Lego sets. So it's 25 years they've been making these things. So they've put out a bunch of new sets that they just put out the other day that I want to tell you about. They've got, first off, they've got a Millennium Falcon. And I guess this is a new, it's like these MIDI scale ships. So they're pretty small, it looks like. These are like this isn't like a giant. Well, actually, it's 921 pieces. I take that back. It's a big set. But they have a bigger one. They have a bigger Falcon, believe it or not. So they got this Millennium Falcon set that you can get for like $85. They have a Tantive IV. So that's the ship that basically starts Star Wars. That's the one that Darth Vader boards. Looking for Leia and the droids. That's 654 pieces at $80. They also have one that's very cool, which is boarding the Tantive IV. So it's basically the scene that starts it with Vader and the stormtroopers coming onto the ship, which is pretty neat. That's like a 500 piece Lego set that'll run you $55. There's the Invisible Hand you can get, $50 for that. If you want a General Grievous's ship, which is pretty cool looking, actually. And then there's an R2-D2. An R2-D2, 1,050 pieces. This will cost you $100. They had another R2-D2 set that came out a few years ago. This is smaller than that. That was a $240 R2 set. This will cost you $100. It also comes with a Darth Malak bonus 25th anniversary mini figurine. From Knights of the Old Republic. So that's kind of cool. So a lot of Lego sets to peruse here. Devin, I don't know if any of these are going to get your hard-earned dollars or not.
Here's the thing. I love Lego so much. If I lived in a bigger apartment or had a house, I would just have a whole like office that was just bookshelves of Lego. This was a huge part of my childhood. I remember 25 years ago when the first Star Wars Legos came out because I was really into Legos. And I don't remember what my like first Star Wars Lego set was. It might have been, I think I had the Jabba's Palace one, because it came with like, you know, that like a creepy little spider droid, and we had like a Lego Jabba and like Leia in the bikini. I remember we had a Millennium Falcon, but it's not like the fancy $800 one that they have now. But no, there's just something that brings me so much joy about these. I really, you know, I wish I had the room for all of these. But oh my gosh, Legos are so expensive now. I feel like they've always been expensive, but I feel like they're even more expensive.
I mean, you don't know how good you had it. I mean, like when I was a kid, there were Legos. There were no like
sets. Yeah. Yeah.
There were no, you know, Star Wars, Harry Potter, Indiana Jones, you know, all these Lord of the Rings. There was none of that. It was just like random dudes.
Maybe we had those too. Yeah.
I mean, maybe if you're lucky, you could build like a parking lot or something. Like there was nothing cool to build with your Legos, honestly. I mean, Legos were around, but they weren't really a huge part of my childhood at all because I couldn't build cool stuff with them. You could see in the background right now, I mean, when my kids were born, then we had a lot of fun. There's a Slave One Lego behind me. There's also a Starfighter, and we have a few, you know, Lego sets still around. My only problem with them is that, I don't know if you had this when you were a kid, but like I'd make them with my kids, and then eventually like they'd break. And then I've got buckets and tubs full of like just Lego pieces from broken Indiana Jones or Star Wars sets all over the place.
Oh yeah, same. I had a younger brother and he would get so excited to build things and then immediately smash them. Whereas I like to have them built and use them. And like I had like, you know, a little Hogwarts and would, you know, use my little minifigs. And I always loved the crossover possibilities, you know, because I had Harry Potter Legos and Star Wars Legos and Indiana Jones Legos. And then just like random ones where it's like, I don't know, like a firefighter and a paleontologist, and would make up like little stories with them and stuff like that. So I still have, when I go home, I have like a shelf in my closet that still has my Lego Hogwarts in it. It's like still built, and it's one of the really old ones back when they all still had like yellow skin. But that was the thing. You would use them, and they weren't great for like action figures are good for like battles and like crashing into stuff and, you know, like flying places, whereas Legos are more fun to like build and create. You can kind of move them around a little bit, but you can't like, you know, if you've got the Millennium Falcon. I remember we built the Millennium Falcon and tried to like fly it around and it would just sort of like crumble. Because it's kind of, you know, they're kind of fragile. But there's something just so much fun. I recently got like in a press pack, like a Lego set for the Marvels. And I just like built Carol Danvers' ship. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot how much fun this is. So I feel like I'm back in my Lego phase. I've got, you can't see it, it's over on my bookshelf, but I've got Rivendell and not the big fancy like $600 Rivendell. I've got like the old school Rivendell. But if I win the lottery, I just want to have the one that I want the most is the one that's been out for a while, which is the $850 Millennium Falcon. And it's gorgeous. And it comes with like a zillion different minifigs and like is huge and enormous. And it's got like, it spans different time periods. So you've got like Leia and Han, and then you've also got like old Han and Rey and Finn. And it's a beautiful thing. So if anybody, Lego, if you're listening and want to send me an $850 Millennium Falcon, I can send you my address.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's so cool. It's so beautiful and so detailed.
I think the coolest one we had, I really don't even know where it is now. I'm sure it's smashed. We had a like the droid transport from Phantom Menace, like the one on Naboo that drops off all the droids. And that was really cool because you'd open it and it would have like all like, you know, it came with like, you know, 30 or 50 droids that were all like, you know, crumpled up in like the, you know, prone position before they get activated. And that was super cool. And so we had tons of fun, me and my son, putting that one together. So that's got to be my favorite Star Wars set. I would love to have an AT-AT set. I just love AT-ATs. I've got a giant AT-AT here on the floor behind me right there.
Oh, you do?
It's always there right there, but it's not a Lego AT-AT. so I always loved AT-ATs. I think one, because they're cool And two, because I never had one when I was a kid. That was the one thing I didn't have. I had the Death Star. I had the X-Wings. I had the TIE Fighters with the wings that popped off when it got hit. I had Endor set. I had Jabba's. I had everything except the AT-AT. I never had that. So I've been trying to reclaim that lost part of my childhood ever since. But I'd love to have that. I will say this. My kids were talking before Christmas, and they're talking about getting a Hogwarts set. It was some massive, massive set. It might have been Rivendell. They're super into Lord of the Rings.
The Rivendell one is the one that came out like 2 years ago, and it's, again, like $600, but it's gorgeous. And if I had the space in my apartment, I would 100% get it.
Well, so that's it. So they wanted to get it, and I was like, well, you don't live here anymore. Like, you can't. Like, it's one thing if it's something you built as a kid and you want to guilt trip me into, like, keeping it in your room. Like, okay, fine, I get it. My son's 23 now. I'm like, you're not allowed to order giant, huge Lego things to then make a Christmas at my house, then leave it there. Like, that's not the way this works. Like, you should be taking stuff out of the house. So I put the kibosh on that one. I was like, do it at your place, dude. It's just not happening.
Yeah, my dad's the same way. He's always like, no, you every time I come home, he's like, okay, can you clean out this closet? And I'm like, no, I live in a one bedroom apartment in Los Angeles and you live in a house. You can be my storage for at least another year or two. But no, yeah, there's, because, you know, and the cool thing about Legos is once you build them, I like to look at them, and I like to, you know, I've got like a couple little ones on my bookshelf, but they're little. And so they fit. So it's, but yeah, I also like just collecting minifigs. I think they're like the little characters. I think they're awesome. They did a run of like Lego Muppets minifigs. So I have a bunch of like the Swedish Chef and some people on my bookshelf over there. A couple Marvel people. I used to have Lego Peggy Carter behind me, but I think she's over there. But something of that to me is my childhood. And I've talked many times on this podcast about specifically my love for the Lego Star Wars video games. I think they're fantastic, and some of the storytelling, and like if you're a Star Wars fan, like the jokes are like top tier. The recent one that came out, Lauren Morgan, our former co-host, and I are both really big fans of the most recent Skywalker Saga one. So just to me, like Lego and Star Wars is very heavily intertwined. Because again, I was, you know, 25 years ago is about when I how old, you know, I was when I was started getting into Star Wars. So, and you know, pretty much like every year for my birthday, that's what my brother and I would ask for is Lego Star Wars. So it's kind of crazy to think that it's been 25 years.
Yeah. Well, perfect transition as you talk about Lego Star Wars. I played the old games. They were tons of fun. We do have some video game news that came out this past week, because they released Star Wars Dark Forces Remaster. And so what this is Dark Forces, which is one of my favorite games of the 90s. This is right when like Doom was a big deal and first-person shooters were just starting out. And so LucasArts put out a Star Wars first-person shooter called Dark Forces. And they recently just re-released it for like the PS4, PS5, all this stuff. And they basically, Devin, what they did was they kind of like, the game was really, it seemed amazing graphics in the 90s, but like it was very blocky. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Like it was very, like you look at it now, it's like, so they cleaned it up. And one of the advantages of having a Star Wars podcast is that you can expense Star Wars video games. So I said, let me just check this out. So last night, went on the PS5. And purchased Star Wars Dark Forces and to take it for a test drive, having played the original, you know, almost 30 years ago. I will say it's funny going from the just graphic splendor of Spider-Man 2, which is maybe the best looking video game ever made on the PS5, to Star Wars Dark Forces is a dramatic shift, even a cleaned up version of that. But it's still super fun. It's like, it took me a while, like with the controllers to figure out what button does what. You know, there's a million buttons on a PS5 now. It's not like, you know, back in the day, but like, it's super fun still. I mean, it's super basic. And, you know, for those that never played it, you play this guy. It takes place in the sort of the original trilogy period, and you play this guy as Kyle Katarn, who's this mercenary, and he used to be in the Empire, but now he's working on for the Rebel Alliance because he realized the Empire, like, responsible for his parents dying. And so he goes on these missions, and, you know, Mon Mothma's in there giving him, like, the mission instructions. And at one point, you got to save General Nadine, the guy with the terrible haircut in Return of the Jedi. I mean, literally maybe the worst haircut in any Star Wars movie I've ever seen in my life.
And that's just saying something.
Just flat out awful. So, but it is interesting, too, because I forgot about Kyle's got this sort of other double agent he works with named Jan Ors. I'm like, huh, Jan Ors sounds a lot like Jyn Erso. Like, is it possible that Jan Ors was an inspiration for the name of Jyn Erso, who was Felicity Jones's character in Rogue One? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I am too lazy to research it, but I just found it interesting. But it was super fun. Devin, they released a trailer for it, which isn't going to do a lot for you all because it's mostly just to show how they cleaned up some of the graphics. But let's play a part of it, and you can hear some of the action from Dark Forces.
What I unveil today will mark a new era for the Empire. We will be able to decimate the rebels just as we did the Jedi Knights.
The Emperor will be most pleased. Continue with your project.
Those sounds you heard, we believe, come from that weapon. A new type of stormtrooper, the Dark Trooper.
A new stormtrooper that can take out a rebel base that quickly? I should have kept working for the Empire. Java, what have you done with Jam? If that thing down there is any indication of what we're dealing with, we're going to need more firepower.
Stop where you are.
So I want to be 100% clear. Like, if this were just a new game that came out in 2024, I'd be like, this is the worst game I've ever seen in my life. This is, like, I think pure nostalgia just here. Oh, yeah. That's driving this. Like, it's just like remembering back to those days when I spent all of these hours playing this. But it is fun. And I will say this, again, way too lazy to do the research to fact check this, but I'm sure someone will email us or, you know, call our hotline to correct me. But I think this could be the first mention of Dark Troopers. You know what I mean? Like, which has become sort of a thing. We've got Dark Troopers and Purge Troopers and this and that, all these different kind of, like, you know, enhanced droid trooper sort of situations. So I don't know if it started here or what, but this pretty early mention in 1995 of Dark Troopers.
Yeah, and the remaster actually looks really great for, I mean, it still has that, you know, kind of 1995 quality where it looks like everything's just made out of Legos. This is so funny to me because this was not a big touch point for me. I was 2 years old when this video game came out. But there is something really nice about kind of going back and revisiting. And we talked about this a couple episodes ago, but they're remastering the original Battlefront and Battlefront 2, which was a big part of my childhood, which was something I loved. And I'm 100% going to download those and get to those there's something nostalgia. Literally, my brother just texted me yesterday being like that he bought an old Game Boy Advance and had like bought the old Sims busting out cartridge that we used to play all the time. There's something very fun about the nostalgia of it all.
Yeah, I will say this. So I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go like play this game. I'm like, I'm kind of excited. We'll talk about it on the podcast. So I log onto the PS5. I go into the store. I thought it was going to be like $9.99. It was like $30. Like,
really?
I guess games are now like $60. So it was half of that. But I still thought, I don't know why, I thought it'd be like $10. I'm like, come on. It's a game from like the 90s. But I guess they spent enough time cleaning it up and they added levels to it that you couldn't play prior. So
they figured that all the people who played it the first time around are now old and have disposable income. So They're, you know, you're falling victim to the nostalgia trap. But that's why we all fall victim to
we're
it.
We're all, Lord knows I do. Know, can't escape. Well, listen, if you've played the game or have old Star Wars video game memories you want to share with us, you can give us a call at 657-799-1566. And if I can ever rip myself away from my PS5 over the next week. Maybe we'll actually listen to those messages. Anyway, all right, listen, that's going to do it for us this week, but we really appreciate you all hanging out with us this week and every week. And we would also appreciate it if you could subscribe to the podcast and rate the podcast, write us a glowing review. Also, leave us a voicemail message, like I said, about anything you want. Just call us and say what you got to say at 657-799-1566, and you can be part of the show. You can also connect with us on social media by following Entertainment Weekly on all socials. It's at EW on Twitter and at Entertainment Weekly everywhere else. You can also tag and follow us directly using at Dalton Ross and at Devin Kogan. Thanks so much, everyone. We'll do it all over again next week.
This episode of Dagobah Dispatch Podcast is hosted and produced by Dalton Ross and Devin Kogan. Produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Full episode transcripts are available at EW.com. Thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you.